knows where he's staying. I asked the mother and sister about him, and they grabbed the last two Oreos and rushed off.
Lights dimmed as a signal that the viewing was over.
It was a good viewing, but not great, Grandma said. It would have been better if the zombie had taken Harold Kuchar's brain. Harold's the exalted ruler of the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. There would have been a big ceremony for him. All the elks would have been here wearing their sashes and hats and medals. As it was, we just had some fainters.
Grandma and I followed the crowd to the door where the funeral director was wishing everyone a good night.
It was pretty good work considering the problem you must have had fixing the head back on, Grandma told the funeral director.
The funeral director nodded in agreement. We try our best.
I couldn't help notice it was screwed on a little crooked, Grandma said.
The funeral director squelched a grimace, and I moved Grandma through the door and down the stairs.
You must have had a hard time finding a place to park, Grandma said. There's cars all up and down the street.
I cheated and parked in the driveway for the funeral home garages. We can take a shortcut through the parking lot. The parking lot ran the length of one side of the funeral home. The garages were to the rear, shielded from view by a hedge and some chunky shrubs. We walked through the lot and skirted around the hedge. The funeral director's car was parked by the building's rear exit. The hearses and flower cars were out of sight in the garage. The area was lit by an overhead flood. The Lexus was discreetly parked in a shaded area on the edge of the drive. We approached the car, and something rustled in the bushes. My first thought was animal. My second thought was funeral director. Grandma hauled her gun out of her purse and two-handed it in front of her.
"Who's there?" she said. "I've got a gun, so you better be careful."
There was more rustling. Something gave a guttural grunt, and for a split second I thought I saw the outline of a man. He was in dark shadow. He was there, and then he was gone.
"Do you smell that?" Grandma asked. "That's the stink of a zombie."
"Are you sure it's not the dumpster?"
"Two entirely different stinks," Grandma said. "There was a zombie prowling around out here. No doubt he was looking for a brain to eat, and I scared him away."
"No doubt.
We should tell the funeral director," Grandma said.
"That might not be a good idea," I said, opening the car door for Grandma. "We're not supposed to be parked back here." Not to mention, most sane people don't entirely believe in zombies.
"I forgot about that. I guess we should keep quiet, but I'm going to feel real bad if he comes back and eats someone's brain."
I turned Grandma over to my mom and went home to a quiet apartment. Rex was running on his wheel. Diesel was off doing his diesel thing. No zombies lurking in my kitchen. Ranger's car was safely parked in the lot behind my building. It was all good. I poured myself a glass of wine, tucked a box of Fruit Loops under my arm, and settled in front of the television. I watched three recorded episodes of The Mind of a Chef and one episode of Barnwood Builders. I don't cook, and I don't have any plans to build a barn, but I'm hooked on the shows. Before heading to bed, I threw the deadbolt and put the security chain in place on my apartment door. I knew it wouldn't stop Diesel from getting in, but it might make it more of a challenge. I was dragged out of sleep by a warm body moving next to me. I looked at my bedside clock. 4 in the morning. An arm curled around me and drew me closer to the body. Diesel was back.
"Are you asleep?" he asked.
"Yes," I said.
"Any chance you'll wake up?"
"Not anytime soon." His hand strayed toward my breast.
"Let me know if you change your mind."
I rolled over onto my stomach. "You'll be the first to know, and don't even think about what you're thinking about." I was doing my best to sound authoritative and off-limits, but I was thinking he felt good next to me. And then I was thinking that was horrible and wrong, and that was followed by the possibility that I might not care if it was wrong. And then I realized he'd fallen asleep. Men. Ugh. Chapter 11. I woke up in a vicious mood. Ignoring my black eye, I stomped off to the bathroom, took a shower, pulled my hair into a ponytail, swiped on some mascara, got dressed in my usual uniform, and stomped back to the bed where Diesel was sleeping.
"Hey!"
I yelled.
What?
Diesel asked without opening his eyes. I'm leaving.
Are you naked?
No.
Did you make breakfast for me?
No. Silence. Even breathing. Eyes closed. Hey, I yelled again. Are you sleeping? He opened his eyes.
Not anymore, and the hay thing is getting old.
Just checking.
You have a mean streak, Diesel said. You ever think about meditation, chamomile tea?
You ever think about leaving?
Not in the last 10 minutes.
I was doomed. If he stayed long enough, my hormones would eventually disconnect my brain, and I'd be on him like white on rice. Bad enough I was in jeopardy of having an arrangement with Ranger, I now had Mr. Big Hot and Blonde tempting me toward total slutdom. Here's the thing, I said. I'm in a relationship and... His eyes were closed again. Damn, he was asleep. I blew out a sigh and took one last look. He was beyond annoying when he was awake and deliciously adorable when he was asleep. I called Morelli on my way to the office and got his voicemail. Just checking in, I told him. Hope everything's good. That got a grimace out of me. How good could it be? The man was collecting heads without brains. I stopped at Dunkin' Donuts and got coffee, a breakfast sandwich, and a dozen donuts. Probably overkill, but I was looking to seriously increase my endorphin production. Connie looked up when I walked in. I dumped my messenger bag on the couch, set the box of donuts on her desk, and tucked into the breakfast sandwich. What's new? I asked.
Vinny phoned in and was on a rant about Zero Slick. Apparently you made national news. Vinny said he was watching television and he saw Slick hit you with a sign. He wants to know why you didn't bring him in.
I pointed to my eye, which was now a dark green with touches of navy and magenta. Hit and run. By the time my head cleared, Slick was gone. Where is Vinny?
He's at a conference in Atlanta.
Lula shuffled into the office. She looked like someone set off a bomb in her head and her hair exploded. She was wearing red sneakers, gray sweatpants, and a pink T-shirt with a coffee stain down the front of it.
God bless someone on account of I see a box of donuts on the desk, Lula said. Tell me there's still donuts left in that box.
Tough night, Connie asked.
The worst. Dogs barking and cats howling. Then there was people yelling at the dogs and cats to shut up. Then there were sirens and flashy lights in my window. Not that any of this is unusual in my neighborhood. I've grown skills that help me to ignore these distractions. It's that none of my skills helped last night. I finally gave up trying to sleep somewhere around 5 in the morning. I got dressed and went out to see what the fuss was about. I thought maybe I would take a jog around the block. I've been planning on taking up exercise.
Lula crammed a donut into her mouth and selected a second.
Healthy body, healthy mind. That's what I'm all about. Who picked these donuts out? There's only 2 of them Boston cream. I mean, I'm in a donut emergency. I need at least 4 Boston creams, and I need coffee.
Looks like you already had coffee, Connie said.
Lula looked down at herself.
This isn't my coffee. I was out in front of my house, and I was thinking about going for a walk or a run or something, and I bumped into a cop. The place was crawling with him. This is his coffee.
What was the problem? I asked. Why were the police there?
I don't know, Lula said. After I got the coffee spilled on me, I went back inside and fell asleep on the couch. I woke up a couple hours later, and there were still dogs barking and cop cars with their stupid radios squawking, so I came here to get some quiet.
She ate 2 more donuts and went to the coffee machine at the back of the room.
I should move out of that neighborhood, but I like my apartment. It's got a big closet.
She returned with coffee and ate another donut.
I just got off the phone with Maureen Segal, Connie said to Lula. She was on police dispatch last night. She said your next-door neighbor let his dog out to do his business around midnight, and the dog found a body in the bushes.
Nothing new about that, Lula said.
Yeah, but the body didn't have a head.
I suppose this explained why I hadn't heard back from Morelli. Lula's eyes opened wide.
Get the heck out! I should have known. It's a zombies. That's why I couldn't sleep. I got ESP for zombies. I got zombie radar. I thought I smelled something, too. It was like carnations and outhouse.
She looked into the donut box.
What do you think this is with the pink icing? Strawberry? Cherry? Anybody mind if I eat it?
Connie and I shook our heads. We didn't mind. After the carnation and outhouse sensory message, the pink donut wasn't doing it for me. I need to roll, I said to Lula and Connie. I have a plan. It wasn't a good plan, but it was the best I could come up with, and it would look like I was working.
What's your plan? Lula asked. I might need to join you.
I'm going to check on Ethel, then I'm going to cruise around Slick's burned-out building and maybe pay another visit to his parents. Then I'm going to have lunch with Grandma to see if she's got any more information on Johnny Chuchi.
I like that plan, Lula said. I especially like the lunch part.
We went to my car, and Lula looked in the back seat.
Do you have food for Ethel? Lula asked. I don't see no food.
I ran back into the office and returned with the donut box. I handed it to Lula and got behind the wheel.
I might need to eat one more of these before we give them to Ethel, Lula said.
By the time we got to Ethel, there were only two donuts left in the box. I unlocked the door to the double wide and looked in. Ethel was curled on the dinette table. I said hello and told her hopefully Diggory would be home soon. I left the box on the floor just inside the door, locked up, and went back to my car.
How'd that go? Lula asked.
Okay, Ethel was on the table. Nothing looked out of the ordinary. I drove to the building Slick burned down and made a slow pass around the block. The crime scene tape had been taken down, and it looked like the neighborhood had normalized. There were some street people sitting out in the morning sun. I glanced at Lula and decided she would have more luck talking to the street people than I would. She sort of looked like one of them today. I'm going to drop you off, I told Lula. Ask the locals about Slick. I'll continue to drive and explore the area, and I'll pick you up in a half hour.
No problemo. Now that I'm all sugared up, I'm ready to go. Lula is my name, and undercover is my game.
I gave her double thumbs up and rolled away. I methodically worked a 9-block grid, driving the streets. I looked for Slick, and I looked for abandoned buildings. Lula was waiting on the corner for me when I circled back to her.
This was an unsatisfying experience, she said. Those street people are rude. They said I was a disgrace to street people on account of I have a coffee stain.
Did you get any information on Slick?
Yeah. He stops around to get lunch sometimes. No one's seen him lately. They all think he's a genius, like he has ideas about how to be a billionaire. One of them was to be a drug lord. So how did that turn out?
You have a new stain on your shirt. Lula looked down at herself.
One of the volunteers gave me some soup. It was in a styrofoam cup with a plastic spoon, and it wasn't all that easy to get at.
Not like eating a donut.
Not nearly. Did you get anything on your drive around?
No, not a lot of people out at this time of the morning, and I didn't see any vacant buildings that could be used to cook drugs.
From what I heard today, Slick probably gave up on the drug empire. Sounded to me like he has a short attention span, like he jumps around from one scheme to the next.
Do we have a clue about his new scheme?
They said he was talking about being a movie star, and he was also thinking about going to Tuscany and starting a vineyard.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a little out there, but you gotta respect a man who dreams big.
You smell like minestrone, I said to Lula.
It's my shirt. The minestrone was the homeless soup of the day. I wouldn't mind a short stop at my apartment so I could beautify myself.
I thought that was an excellent idea, and there was a chance that Morelli would still be at the crime scene. Lula lived in a lavender and pink two-story frame house that had been converted into four apartments. The owner of the house lived on the ground floor. Lula lived on the second floor, and a crazy woman lived in the attic. The street was narrow and lined with trees. The residents were ethnically mixed and uniformly straddling the poverty line. It was a nice street that was too close to some very bad gang-infested streets. I left downtown, drove to Lula's neighborhood, and took the alley that ran past the back of Lula's apartment. Lula had a dedicated parking spot that I was able to slide into. The rest of the street and alley space was clogged with police vehicles, satellite TV trucks, and clumps of curious bystanders. Some of the bystanders were dressed like zombies. Lula disappeared inside her house, and I went in search of Morelli. I found him on the sidewalk in front of the CSI van, standing back on his heels, looking lost in thought. What's going on? I asked him.
This is turning into a freak show.
Are you still in charge?
No one's in charge, Morelli said. The state is here. The feds are here. Zombie National Chapter 103 is here.
Those are the guys in rags?
Yeah, they're waiting for the apocalypse.
Nice. What are you waiting for?
Inspiration, Morelli said. The headless bodies are stacking up like cordwood, and I'm not making any progress.
Have you identified the guy in the bushes?
Yes. He was stolen from the funeral home on Stark Street.
Do you have all of him?
No. Estate guys are talking about bringing in a clairvoyant.
Do you think that will help?
I stopped thinking a couple hours ago.
The zombie chapter had a boombox going. They were playing the Monster Mash and marching around stiff-legged with their arms stretched out in front of them.
This is a little carny, I said to Morelli.
This is nothing. There are food trucks and T-shirt vendors on the next block.
Lula approached us. She had changed into a short purple metallic wig, a black low-cut sweater that barely contained the girls, and black Pilates pants that fit her like skin.
Just look at this, Lula said, spreading her arms wide, taking the scene in. This is what I'm talking about. Here's people changing something bad into something rad. It's like a wake with a lot of liquor and meatballs. This could set Trenton back on the map. Not everywhere you got a zombie fest going on.
This is a murder scene, I said.
Technically, it's not a murder scene, Morelli said.
Yeah, and technically these aren't real zombies, Lula said. These here are fun zombies.
I didn't think they looked all that much fun. I thought they were creepy. Maybe these fun zombies are all actually nuts and like to eat brains, I said. Morelli looked over at them.
We thought of that. We have them all on record. Names, addresses, photos, and video.
I followed Morelli's line of sight and studied the zombies. I don't suppose Zero Slick happens to be with them.
No. For what it's worth, we don't have him in the zombie registry.
You got a zombie registry? Lula asked. That sounds wrong. You better be careful or you'll get accused of zombie harassment.
Been there, done that, Morelli said.
Gotta go, I said. Stuff to do. Chapter 12 Lula and I walked to the back of her apartment building and got into the Lexus.
I wouldn't mind taking a look at the street with the food trucks and T-shirts, Lula said. I might want a commemorative T-shirt.
I drove around the block, found the food truck street, and cruised the length of it. It was slow going because it was packed with people. They were buying ice cream and waffle cones, cotton candy, sausage sandwiches, zombie glow sticks, zombie T-shirts, and zombie ball caps. A guy dressed in zombie rags was playing the accordion. A sign advertised valet parking.
I'm thinking if you use valet parking here, you're not likely to get your car back, Lula said.
Do you need to buy something? I asked her.
Not bad enough to stand in line for it. Where'd all these people come from? Why aren't they working?
I cut across town and took Klockner to Majestic Muse. I parked a short distance from the Krakowski apartment and settled in.
How long are we going to sit here? Lula asked.
Until lunch.
In that case, I'm putting my seat back and taking a nap. As you know, I didn't have an ideal night.
A little after 11 o'clock, Marie Krakowski exited her apartment and walked to a silver Nissan Sentra. She was carrying a bulging cloth grocery bag and a small cooler chest. Bingo. Dollars to donuts, she was taking lunch to her son.
We're on the move, I said to Lula. Raise your seat.
Marie pulled out of the lot and I followed at a distance. She left Hamilton Township and took Olden Avenue to Morley Street.
Oh, crap, Lula said. She's going to the cemetery. She's taking lunch to the zombies. You said she has a cooler. Maybe she's got a head in it.
Marie Krakowski doesn't impress me as being a zombie chaser. She's a mom, and I'm pretty sure she's feeding her son.
Yeah, but he could be a zombie by now if he's in the zombie cemetery.
The cemetery on Morley Street was small as far as cemeteries go. It was attached to a non-denominational church that was also small. Both were very old, dating back to the Revolution. Marie parked in the church parking lot and took her cooler and grocery bag through the wrought iron gate that led to the cemetery.
Now what? Lula said.
We wait. I don't want to create a scene when the mother is there.
That's real nice of you.
It had nothing to do with being nice. Marie Krakowski was an additional complication. One more person to worry about. She could be carrying a gun in the cooler. Never underestimate a protective mother. She was in the cemetery for 20 minutes. When she returned to her car, she was empty-handed. I waited for her to leave the parking lot, and then I entered the cemetery. "Stay here at the gate," I told Lula. "If he takes off on me, he'll run this way, and you can stop him."
"No problem," Lula said, "but we should have a code word if that happens, so I'm ready."
"How about if I yell out, 'Stop him'?"
"Yeah, that'll work. And I'm getting my gun ready so if any zombies show up, I can shoot them in the head."
I followed the path from the gate toward the heart of the cemetery. Most of the headstones here were old and weather-beaten, names and dates no longer readable. The newer graves were located at the far end, but they were few and far between. The plots had been used for generations, and space was scarce. I found Zero Slick sitting with his back to a tombstone, dousing a ham sandwich with Tabasco sauce. He looked up when I approached, but he didn't seem alarmed. "So?" I asked.
"So what?"
"What are you doing here?"
"Eating lunch. Go away."
"I feel like there's a story here," I said to Slick.
"It's none of your business."
"Not true," I said. "I'm supposed to capture you. Right now, everything you do is my business."
"Capturing me won't do anybody any good."
"It'll be good for me. I get money when I bring you in."
"A pittance compared to what I'm going to make. 2 months from now, I'll be world famous, and you'll still be nothing."
"How so?"
"I'm not telling you."
"Here's the deal. I'm going to cuff you and drive you back to the police station. Court is in session right now, so you'll be able to get bonded out again, and you'll be free to come back to this cemetery in a couple hours."
"No way. I'm not leaving the cemetery. I have important work to do here."
I reached for him, and he jumped away. I pulled my cuffs and stun gun out, and he took off, running for the gate. I yelled, "Stop him!" And a couple seconds later, I heard oof and whoomp. By the time I got to Lula, she was sitting on Slick, and he was struggling to breathe. I cuffed him, and Lula and I hauled him to his feet.
"Another minute, and I would have been dead," Slick said, sucking air. "How much do you weigh? 300 pounds? You need some serious portion control. You probably eat enough every day to feed half of the people who are starving in Burundi."
"Look who's talking," Lula said. "Mr. Pudgy Wudgy."
"I'll make a deal," Slick said. "If you let me stay here, I'll let you buy into my project."
"No," I said.
"You have to let me stay," Slick said. "This could be my big break."
"You'll only be gone for a couple hours," I told him.
"I'll be gone forever. No one's going to bond me out this time. My parents aren't going to bond me out again, and I have no one else."
"Not my problem," I said.
"He's got my curiosity," Lula said. "I want to know about the big break. I'm always on the lookout for a big break."
"It's the zombies," Slick said. "I found the portal. There's only one place in this whole cemetery where the earth has been disturbed."
"You aren't going to turn into a zombie, are you?" Lula asked. "I have to tell you, that's not a big break. Those zombies are unattractive."
"I'm going to film them," Slick said. "I'm going to make a zombie documentary. It's genius, right? Nobody's done it."
"Because there really aren't zombies?" I asked.
"Don't pay attention to her," Lula said to Slick. "She's one of them disbelievers. I think this has potential. How are you going to do this?"
"I'm going to sit here and wait until the zombies show up. I figure they might be coming and going, like this is home base. And then when they show up, I'm going to film them."
"You got equipment?" Lula asked.
"I have a GoPro that has infrared filming, and I have my cell phone."
"I might know where you can get some professional stuff," Lula said. "As I see it, your big problem is stopping the zombies from eating your brain."
"So far, they're only taking brains from people who are already dead, so I think I'm safe as long as I'm alive."
Lula nodded.
"I can see you thought this through."
"It's the chance of a lifetime," Slick said. "I'd be willing to give you a credit if you could get me better equipment. I could list you as an assistant or a grip or something."
"My name would have to be in a prominent place," Lula said. "I'd need to get a producer credit. And what about the filming? Would we get to be seen with the zombies?"
"I hadn't thought about it, but sure, we could do that."
"It would enhance our prospects for future film roles," Lula said. "It could lead to us being movie stars."
Slick was visibly excited. His eyes were wide and his face was flushed.
Exactly. That's been my plan all along.
Okay, it's decided, Lula said. Let's do it.
I raised my hand. Hello, have we forgotten something? This man is a felon. We're supposed to be apprehending him.
Yeah, but I don't see where there's such a rush, Lula said. We got a mission. It could be critical that we document the zombies.
I rolled my eyes and thunked the heel of my hand against my forehead.
Ugh. I gotta get back to my post, Slick said. I don't want any zombies sneaking into the portal without getting the picture taken.
And I gotta go to the projects and find my camera friend, Lula said.
Lula hustled off to the parking lot, and I followed after her.
We have to find Cheap Slim, Lula said. He's my electronic source these days.
I knew about Cheap Slim. He sold cameras, smartphones, watches, and laptops out of the trunk of his 1998 Cadillac Eldorado. Best not to ask about the source of his goods. You're going to buy a camera to film something that doesn't exist, I said to Lula.
Well, something came out of the cemetery and followed Diggory home, Lula said, and something's collecting brains.
She had a point, so maybe putting Slick in the cemetery with a camera wasn't such a bad idea. It's almost noon, I said. I called my mom a while ago and told her we'd be around for lunch. After lunch, we can look for Cheap Slim.
Sounds good. Now that I think about it, I might even have a camera at my apartment. It was left over from when I did the bungee jumping demo.
Chapter 13
You picked a good day to come for lunch, Grandma told Lula. We got leftover meatloaf, fresh bakery bread, and coleslaw. And I got a new picture of my honey.
Is this the guy who looks like George Hamilton? Lula asked.
Yep, this is a picture of him on his scooter.
Lula and I looked at the photo on Grandma's cell phone.
He's almost as dark as me, Lula said. He spent some serious time in the sun.
Well, he's in Florida, and that's the way it is. I'm told everyone looks like this in Florida, Grandma said. I might have to go to a tanning salon before I visit him.
You are not visiting him, my mother said.
Lula and I took a seat at the kitchen table. I made a meatloaf sandwich and helped myself to the coleslaw. Have you heard anything new about Johnny Chuchi? I asked Grandma.
I got a load of information about Johnny, Grandma said. He came back because he had a dream about his ex-wife, and he decided he was still in love with her. He tried to go visit her, and she hit him on the head with a fry pan, and he had to go to the emergency room. 12 stitches. Went home and had another dream. This time God told him he had to try again. He's afraid to go back, so he's been sending her stuff. Flowers and pizza and love notes. So far as I know, the ex-wife wants nothing to do with him.
That's pathetic, Lula said. If someone sent me pizza, I'd have to reconsider my feelings for him.
Grandma forked in some meatloaf.
Word is that he even forgives her for killing his dog with a chicken bone.
He sounds like a nice man, Lula said. A real romantic. It's a shame we've got to haul his ass back to jail, but I guess that's life, right?
Do you know where he's staying? I asked Grandma. Where's home these days?
He was staying with his brother Earl, but that got old for Earl's wife, Grandma said. Then he moved in with his brother, Little Pinky, and he might still be there. And that's all I know, except that Johnny doesn't look so good these days, and he might be a zombie.
Lula sat forward in her seat.
Get out. Is that for real?
Well, he's not raggedy, but his eyes are sort of sunken in like zombie eyes. I guess he could just be anemic, but people are talking.
What's he smell like? Lula asked. Did anybody smell him?
I haven't heard anything about his smell, Grandma said.
My mother brought half a chocolate cake to the table.
For goodness sakes, the man got hit in the head with a fry pan. He's probably got a headache.
She knifed into the cake and put a slab onto a plate.
Who wants dessert?
We all wanted dessert. We finished lunch and pushed back from the table.
I'd offer to help you take down Johnny, Grandma said, but I got an appointment at the hair salon. I have to keep up appearances in case my honey decides to visit me, or vice versa.
My mother still had the cake knife on the table. She was looking like she wanted to plunge it into her heart and end it all, so I removed the knife from the table, washed it, dried it, and put it back in the knife drawer.
Great lunch, Mrs. P, Lula said. You sure know how to put out a spread.
I gave my mom a hug. Thanks for the lunch. Don't worry about Grandma.
I'll never forgive your grandfather for dying, my mother said. God bless his soul.
Lula and I drove 4 blocks and parked across the street from little Pinky Chuchi's house.
It doesn't say anything about him in the file, Lula said. Is he married?
He's married to a guy named Butch. They both work at the gym on Center Street. Butch is a physical therapist, and little Pinky is a trainer.
We crossed the street, and I rang little Pinky's doorbell. No one answered, but there was a lot of barking on the other side of the door.
I rang the bell a second time, and the barking continued. I'm guessing that little Pinky and Butch are at work and Johnny isn't here either, I said. If someone was home, they would have attempted to stop the barking.
Lula was already creeping around the house, looking in the windows.
The dog that's making all that noise is about 3 pounds. It's one of those Chihuahua dogs, Lula said. I can see the little ankle biter looking up at me.
I moved next to Lula, checked out the dog, and continued walking. I was able to see the kitchen from the back door window. Everything was neat and clean. 2 cereal bowls and 2 juice glasses in the dish drain. No indication that a third person was living in the house.
No sign of Mr. Underpants, Lula said. Now what?
Now we go to the gym to talk to little Pinky.
Okay, but don't forget about Slick. I promised him a camera.
It's on my list. Ethel was also on my list. I didn't think 2 donuts was going to hold her, and the last thing I wanted was for her to be ravenously hungry when I opened Diggory's door.
The Center Street gym was a large, blocky, freestanding building with statues of Greek gods by the front door. We found little Pinky in the free weights area. I hadn't seen him in years, but he was as I remembered, over-muscled and over-tattooed, dark hair slicked back, missing a finger. He recognized me, too, and he guessed why I was there.
Johnny was crashing at my house, but it didn't work, little Pinky said. Killer hated him.
Killer? I asked.
My dog.
The Chihuahua?
Yeah, it was unpleasant, so Johnny moved out.
Do you know where he went?
Sure, but I'm not telling you. That would be ratting on my brother.
Yeah, but he's a felon, Lula said. And besides that, he's a goofball. He robbed a jewelry store wearing a pair of tighty-whities on his head.
He might have been shroomed up, but he's clean now, little Pinky said. He's trying to get his life together.
He could get it together in prison, Lula said. They got dumbbells there. He could come out looking like you.
Something to think about, little Pinky said. But I'm not telling you where he is.
We left the gym and went to Lula's apartment to get the camera. I drove her to the cemetery, but she wouldn't go beyond the gate.
You've got to take the camera to him, Lula said. I don't like cemeteries, and I don't like zombies. And the thing is, I've got the feeling that I'm one of those people who attracts zombies. And now that we're here, I'm going creepy-crawly.
I thought you were all into this. You wanted to be filmed with the zombies.
I'm rethinking that part of it. I could be interviewed at some other location, and they could edit me in. They do that stuff all the time.
I rolled my eyes and blew out a sigh. It wasn't a spectacular eye roll. I didn't really have my heart in it. Truth is, I was getting weary of the zombie routine. I took the camera and walked it back to Slick. He was sitting with his back to a tree, and he was writing in a journal.
What are you writing? I asked him.
A book. I'm going to send it to Oprah when I'm done.
You have big plans.
I'm short. I have to think tall.
I nodded acknowledgement. It was an admirable philosophy. It would be even better if he threw some common sense into the tall thinking.
I don't suppose you've spotted any zombies, I said.
Not yet. I'm hoping for some good activity tonight.
I handed the camera to him. This is from Lula. It didn't come with an instruction book, but hopefully you can figure it out. I gave him my card. Call me if you see any zombies, or if you get tired of sitting here and want to get carted off to jail.
I don't suppose you have any weed on you?
Nope, no weed. I left him sitting under the tree, and I returned to Lula.
How's he doing?
She asked. He's okay.
You see any zombies yet?
Nope, no zombies.
Well, they're out there sneaking around. I can feel them watching me, and I think they might be sending me mental messages.
What are they saying?
They're saying, brains, brains, brains.
I did a 360-degree scan. I didn't see any zombies, and I wasn't getting any mental messages. I need to get more food for Ethel, I said to Lula. Something inexpensive.
How inexpensive are you thinking? Roadkill? Dumpster pickings?
More like almost expired rotisserie chicken.
That's still going to add up to money. If you could find a woodchuck on the side of the road, it would last Ethel a couple days.
Are you going to pick it up?
Hell no. You're the one who promised to take care of Ethel. I'm not picking up no dead woodchuck.
I pulled into a shopping bag and got 6 rotisserie chickens. 4 for Ethel, 1 for me, and 1 for Lula.
Those chickens smell delicious, Lula said. I'm having a feast tonight. I'm going to stop at the deli on my way home and get some potato salad and a banana cream pie.
After buying all those chickens, banana cream pie would not fit into my budget. Roadkill for Ethel was looking more attractive. I turned onto Broad and saw Johnny Chuchi come out of the hardware store and walk down the street. That's him, I said. That's Johnny Chuchi in the blue shirt and jeans. I pulled to the side of the road and parked at a bus stop. Lula and I got out of the car, crossed the street, and ran after Chuchi. He got into a silver Honda and drove away before we got to him. Lula and I ran back to my car and took off after him. He was in sight with 2 cars between us. He turned off Broad and onto Liberty. He was heading into the burg. When I get close enough, I want you to get his plate, I said to Lula, just in case we lose him.
I'm on it.
I closed the distance between us, and Chuchi suddenly turned into an alley and sped up.
He's on to us, Lula said.
I was on his bumper. Chuchi clipped a garbage can, and it flipped up and smashed into the side of the Lexus.
Keep going, Lula said. That didn't hardly do any damage.
She had her gun out, and her window rolled down.
You want me to shoot him? She asked. I could shoot out his tires.
Lula couldn't hit the broadside of a barn if she was 2 feet away. She is the worst shot of anyone I know. No, I said. No shooting. Chuchi made a hard left onto Myrtle Street and an immediate right into another alley. I stayed with him until he suddenly turned left into a backyard, raced between 2 houses, and came out on Clifton. I didn't react fast enough to follow him through the yard. By the time I got to Clifton, he was gone. I drove around the burg looking for the silver Honda while Lula called the plate into Connie.
Connie says the car belongs to Little Pinky.
I drove past Little Pinky's house. Car wasn't there. I drove past the gym. Car wasn't there either. I gave up searching for Johnny and went to feed Ethel. The sky was overcast, and by the time we reached Diggory's Road, the sun was hidden behind the trees.
It's not nighttime, Lula said, but it's dark enough back here in the woods that it's spooky.
I thought it was spooky in full daylight. It was like being in a second-rate goblin forest. It wouldn't surprise me to find flying demon monkeys living in one of the yurts. I parked in Diggory's front yard, let myself into the double-wide, and arranged the chickens on the small kitchen table. I heard the whisper of a sound from the bedroom, and a chill ran down my spine. Ethel was on the move. Her head poked into the hallway, and at the same time Lula barreled through the front door and slammed it shut.
They're out there. The zombies are coming to get me. I got out of the car for a minute to stretch my legs, and I saw them. They were heading for the car, so I ran in here.
I looked out the window. I didn't see any zombies.
I don't even have my gun, Lula said. I left my purse in the car.
I don't see them, I said. You must have scared them away.
Maybe they went invisible. Crack the window and see if you can smell them.
I can't smell anything but rotisserie chicken, I said. Lula caught sight of Ethel oozing closer, hunting down dinner.
Holy hell, Lula said. I'm caught between a giant snake and the zombies. I gotta get out of here. Give me one of those chickens.
What are you gonna do with it?
I'm gonna give it to the zombies. They can have chicken brain.
These are supermarket chickens, I said. They don't have heads.
Say what?
Look at them. No head. No brain. Didn't you ever notice that supermarket chickens don't have a head?
I never thought about it. Maybe the zombies won't notice.
Of course they'll notice, I said. These are rotisserie chickens. Ethel was almost entirely in the hall, looking bigger in the small space than when she was curled in the tree.
That's the biggest freaking snake I've ever seen, Lula said. I'm going to get diarrhea.
That would be bad, I told her. The bathroom is on the other side of Ethel. Lula was dancing around, waving her arms in the air.
I gotta get out of here. I gotta get out of here.
I opened the front door, and Lula rushed through it and down the makeshift stairs. I stepped out of the double-wide, locked the door, and came up behind her. She was standing dead still in the middle of the yard. Her eyes were wide, and her mouth was open. No sounds were coming out of Lula, but there were low, guttural moans coming out of the woods surrounding us.
What the hell is that?
Lula whispered, pointing to the patch of scrubby bushes beyond the car. The area was in deep shadow, but I saw two pairs of red eyes and what appeared to be two human forms.
Get in the car, I whispered.
What?
Get in the car!
I gave her a shove, and we jumped into the car. I roared out of the yard and down the road. I followed a curve in the road, and something sprang out of the woods at us and bounced off my front right quarter panel. I hit the brake, jerking to a stop.
What was that? I asked Lula.
It was a zombie. Lordy, lordy, you ran over one of the zombies. Okay, so they're already dead, but I'm guessing they aren't going to be happy about this. Nobody likes getting run over.
It was an accident.
Yeah, but you ran over him all the same. You smacked right into him.
I turned in my seat and looked at the road behind us. I couldn't see anything. I got out of the car and looked around. Nothing lying in the road. Nothing lying in the scrub brush on the side of the road. I got back in the car and was about to drive away when a large man in rags rushed out of the woods at us. His arms were outstretched. His fingers were gnarled and curled. His hair was patchy and clogged with dirt. His skin was dark and shredding off his face. His eyes were glowing red.
Yow! Lula yelled. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy someone else.
The raggedy creature slammed himself against the car, grabbing for the door handle.
I can smell him, Lula shrieked. Carnations and duty. It's hideous. I'm going to throw up. I'm going to poop.
I stomped on the gas, and the Lexus jumped forward. The raggedy thing lost its grip, and I sped away. I turned onto Broad with my hands clenched on the steering wheel and my heart pounding in my chest. Breathe, I told myself. Relax the fingers. Concentrate on the road. I cut my eyes to Lula.
You didn't, did you?
What?
Poop yourself?
I don't think so. I'm almost positive, but I need a drink or a donut or bacon. I don't even have a word for what happened back there.
I didn't have a word for it either. I hit something I couldn't identify. I heard some scary sounds coming from the woods. Something charged my car. It looked like a zombie. Don't even go there, I thought. Zombies only live in Hollywood. Okay, and I feel stupid thinking that it might have been a zombie, but I saw it, and it looked like a zombie. Truth is, I saw something else. I saw a teenage boy standing in the middle of the road. I saw it for a split second before the big raggedy man rushed out of the woods at me. When I turned my attention back to the road, the boy was gone.
Did you see a boy in the middle of the road? I asked Lula.
A boy? Like a zombie boy?
No, an ordinary boy, maybe 14 or 15.
I didn't see nothing but my life flashing in front of me. I'll tell you what would be a good idea. They should stuff the chicken's head up its butt with the rest of the giblets. Then it would be there if you need it.
Chapter 14. I very carefully and deliberately drove to the office. I parked at the curb, and Lula and I got out and looked at the Lexus. It had a dent and a gash in the front right quarter panel, and a strip of filthy cloth was caught in the gash.
That's a zombie rag, Lula said. I know it anywhere. It even smells like zombie. Boy, I'm glad I'm not the one who ran over him. They got no sense of humor about stuff like that. Zombies are mean buggers. You piss them off and they come to get you.
How do you know so much about zombies?
I saw that Brad Pitt movie, and then I Googled zombies.
Connie came out of the office and looked at the Lexus.
What happened? She asked.
Stephanie ran over a zombie, Lula said.
Connie looked at me.
Really?
I ran over something. I guess it looked like a zombie.
Bummer, Connie said.
Yeah, it's a problem on account of you don't want to piss off a zombie, Lula said. Am I right?
I pulled the rag off the car and tossed it into the back seat with the rotisserie chicken. See you tomorrow.
Hope so, Lula said. Remember, in case they come to get you, you have to shoot them in the brain, so you should put some bullets in your gun.
I gave Lula a thumbs up, and I got back into the Lexus. Lula was right about the rag. It didn't smell good. When you combined it with the chicken, it was a total gag. I called Morelli and asked where he was.
Home,
he said,
and I can actually spend the night here unless someone finds a headless body.
I'm on my way, I said. I have something to show you.
I have something to show you, too.
We might not be on the same page.
Work with me,
Morelli said. 10 minutes later, I walked into Morelli's house, and Bob galloped in from the kitchen to greet me. He got to the middle of the living room and stopped. His nose twitched, hackles rose on his back, and he growled. The only other time I've heard him growl was when he stole a Virginia-baked ham off the table and Morelli tried to get it back. Morelli came up behind Bob.
What's going on? He asked. What's that smell? Did you run over another outhouse?
I ran over a zombie. I held the rag out for him to see. This is what's left of him.
What's in the other bag?
Rotisserie chicken. Morelli grinned.
That's a killer combination.
I thought you might want someone to examine the cloth.
And the chicken?
Dinner.
I like it, Morelli said. I'll put the zombie attack dog in the backyard.
I followed him into the kitchen and put the piece of cloth into a plastic baggie while he carved the chicken.
Tell me about the cloth, he said.
I washed my hands and set the kitchen table with plates and silverware, and Morelli brought the chicken to the table. I took some chicken to Ethel this afternoon, and when I stepped out of the double wide, I heard creepy growling moaning sounds coming from the woods. I looked into the woods, and I saw two sets of glowing red eyes that were attached to two bodies that looked human. The bodies were in shadow, and I couldn't see any details, but it freaked me out enough to want to get out of there.
You were alone?
Lula was with me. We jumped into my car and took off. I was a short distance down Diggory's Road when this thing jumped out in front of me, and I bounced him off my right front quarter panel. I stopped and got out of the car, but the thing was gone. Lulu was sure it was a zombie.
Do you think it was a zombie?
Morelli asked. It happened so fast that I barely saw it. Honestly, it could have been a velociraptor or a unicorn. Anyway, I got back into the car, and I was about to drive away when this man, for lack of a better word, came out of the woods and rushed the car. I'm no expert, but it looked a lot like a zombie. Dirt-clogged hair, rotting skin, raggedy clothes. It grabbed the door handle, but I had the car locked.
And?
And I drove away, fast. When I got to the office, I looked at the car. There's a dent and a gash in the right front quarter panel, and the cloth was caught in the ripped part.
And you think it was a zombie?
I think it looked like a zombie, and Lula said it smelled like a zombie. Morelli wiped his hands on a paper towel.
Let's look at your car.
We went outside, and Morelli walked around the Lexus.
Ranger?
He asked. Yep. Ranger wasn't Morelli's favorite person for many reasons, not the least of which is my ongoing relationship with the man.
Nice car,
Morelli said. I nodded. Except it has a dent in it. Morelli was on one knee examining the dent and the torn fiberglass.
I don't see any blood, but I'd like to have CSI go over this.
Sure.
And I'll give them the cloth.
Do you think it was a zombie?
No,
Morelli said.
I also don't think it was a velociraptor or a unicorn.
I need dessert. Do you have any ice cream?
Yes, chocolate. Do you know what I need?
Yep, I said. I have a pretty good idea. Can I have my ice cream first?
As long as you eat fast.
Chapter 15 Morelli shook me awake at 6 o'clock. The room was dark, and I wasn't ready to start my day. It had been a long, satisfying, but exhausting night.
I'm heading out, he said. I'm going to trade cars with you so CSI can take a look at yours.
They're just going to look at the quarter panel, right? There was a beat of silence.
Something you want to tell me about the car?
He asked. It's a rangeman car. It's equipped.
Legally equipped?
I brushed hair back from my face. I don't even know what that means.
I'll check the car out before I turn it over,
Morelli said.
I'm not going to get blown up, am I?
Maybe you should call Ranger first. Morelli grunted.
My favorite thing to do.
I thought you did your favorite thing last night. And then you did your second favorite and third favorite. He smiled, his teeth white in the dark room.
You wouldn't let me do my fourth favorite.
You can permanently wipe that off the list. That's disgusting. He kissed me on my forehead and left. It was almost 9 o'clock when I rolled into the office. I'd made a stop at my apartment to shower and change clothes. Diesel wasn't there, and the bed hadn't been slept in. I had a twinge of anxiety over his safety and gave myself a mental slap in the face. He was fine. He was always fine. In fact, he might be immortal. Connie was applying clear coat to her nails when I walked in, and Lula was pacing.
I got a case of nerves, Lula said. I'm worried about the zombies. This could be the start of something. There could be an apocalypse coming. And what about the ones that are already walking around? How long before they stop looking for dead brains and start going after live brains? It could be any day now. And our brains are going to be at the top of their list because you ran over one of them and ripped off some of his rags.
Lula's hair was au naturel today, resulting in a massive, impenetrable afro. I thought the zombies would have a hard time getting to Lula's brain.
How about you? Lula asked me. Aren't you nervous? Weren't you agitated over the zombies all last night?
I shook my head. I spent the night with Morelli. I was agitated over other things.
Did you tell him you punted a zombie?
Yes. I gave him the piece of cloth. He's going to have it tested today, and he swapped cars with me so the lab guys could take a look at that, too.
You got one sexy guy who gives you cars and another sexy guy who agitates you, Lula said. It's not fair that you have two sexy guys and I'm dependent on battery-operated devices.
It got better or worse, depending on your point of view. There was a third guy in my life. I wasn't sure what role he played, but he was definitely sexy. We have two open files, I said. Chuchi and Slick. I'm curious about Slick. I say we check on him first.
I guess that would be okay, Lula said, but if I smell carnations and outhouse, I'm out of there.
Fair enough. We left the office, and Lula was relieved to see we'd be using Morelli's green SUV.
This is good, she said. This is an unrecognizable car for the zombies. They won't immediately know who we are when we park in the cemetery lot.
I buckled up and pulled away from the curb. You need to stop obsessing about zombies. They aren't real. Something bad is happening, but it's not the result of a zombie uprising.
How can you be sure?
I didn't have an answer for this. It was like believing in God. You did or you didn't. Or, in my case, I wasn't sure, so I hedged my bets by going to Mass at Christmas, and I only used the Lord's name in vain under extreme circumstances. I just don't think there are zombies, I said.
So what did we see?
I don't know, something made up to look like a zombie.
What about the glowing red eyes?
I have to admit, they were freaky.
Fucking A,
Lula said. I parked in the cemetery lot, and Lula and I walked to the gate. Lula had her gun drawn in case she had to shoot a zombie in the brain. My gun was at home in the cookie jar. The rangeman gun was riding along with Morelli. I kept telling myself I didn't believe in zombies, and mostly I didn't. I also didn't believe in giant spiders that could eat me alive and venom-spewing anal-probing aliens from Uranus. All this not believing had little effect on the irrational fear I carried for zombies, spiders, and aliens. We passed through the gate, and Lula stopped and sniffed. Well, I asked.
It smells okay, and I'm not getting any zombie vibes. I say we keep going.
We followed the path to the tree where Slick had set up camp. The area was littered with his belongings, but he wasn't there. A white styrofoam cooler was overturned and empty. A blanket, his GoPro, his journal, and a ball cap were on the ground by the cooler.
I don't like the looks of this, Lula said.
Maybe he had to use the bathroom.
Or maybe the zombies got him.
It bothered me that Slick's GoPro and journal were lying out, and that the pen was several feet from the journal. I was trying not to be an alarmist, but I secretly agreed with Lula that this didn't look good. Lula was standing by a tombstone staring at the grave.
Does it look like someone started to dig this up again?
Yes, some of the sod has been dislodged. I walked farther down the path, finding another grave that had been recently disturbed. Lula's video camera was half buried in the soft dirt. I shouted for Slick, but no one answered. The cemetery was eerily quiet. I called Morelli, gave him the short version, and suggested he might want to take a look at the grave sites. Lula returned to the parking lot to direct the police when they arrived, and I stayed graveside. I knew there was a good chance that this was a crime scene, and I needed to keep its integrity, but I wanted to read Slick's journal and see what he'd caught on the cameras. I carefully brushed the dirt away from Lula's camera and checked recent videos. There was nothing after Lula's bungee jumping disaster. I placed the camera back in the dirt and went to the GoPro. The rewind on this showed more. Two shadowy forms with glowing eyes could be seen moving toward the camera. Slick's voice was a whisper.
Oh no. Oh crap.
The creature stopped and looked left. Slick panned with the camera, and I saw a third form. It was taller, and it quickly moved out of the frame. The camera was on infrared mode, making identification difficult, but there was something about the hair and the build of the third one that looked familiar. I replayed the video and had a chilling feeling in my gut. I couldn't be certain, but I thought it looked like Diesel. The camera returned to the two red-eyed creatures as they rushed at Slick, arms outstretched, mouths gaping open. The video went to the dark sky, someone screamed, and the camera cut out. I heard cars entering the parking lot, and I was in a state of confused anxiety. I was having a hard time breathing and thinking. The red-eyed creatures in the video were terrifying. Slick was missing, and my stomach was sick at the possibility of finding his headless body behind a tombstone. And then there was Diesel. I was almost positive he was the man in the video. What the heck was he doing there? Was he one of them? Was he hunting them? And what was I supposed to say to Morelli? I think I recognize the tall guy in the video. He's living with me, and he's been sleeping in my bed, naked. This brought on more nausea. Okay, get a grip. Breathe. It's not so bad. It's all been pretty innocent. No penetration, no exchange of bodily fluids. Not yet, anyway. And now that he might be a zombie, or maybe a zombie handler. I squinched my eyes closed. Don't even go there. First off, there are no zombies. Second, there are no zombies. Two uniforms appeared on the path, and I realized I hadn't looked at the journal. I dropped the GoPro, snatched the journal off the ground, and shoved it into my bag. I made the sign of the cross and told God I was only keeping the journal for a short time. It wasn't like I was stealing something or tampering with evidence. I was actually safeguarding evidence so it didn't get trampled by all the cops who were rushing into the cemetery. Morelli was close behind the uniforms. I stood to one side and waited for him to first take in the scene at the grave and then make his way to me.
Let me get this straight, Morelli said. Instead of taking Slick in, you decided to let him stay here to film the zombies.
At the time, it sounded like an okay idea. Morelli looked at the GoPro lying on the ground.
He was going to film them with this?
Yes, and with a camera that Lula loaned him. We found Lula's camera at the other grave.
And no one's touched any of this?
Pretty much. Small grimace from Morelli.
And?
There's nothing on Lula's camera, but the GoPro shows a couple guys with glowing red eyes coming at Slick. Morelli pulled on gloves, picked the camera up, and watched the rewind. What do you think? I asked him.
Zombies,
Morelli said.
No doubt about it.
He watched it a second time.
There's someone on this video who doesn't look like a zombie.
Hmm, I said. I must have missed that.
He's at a distance, and he's only on camera for a heartbeat. I'll have the tech enhance the frame, and I'll take another look.
How about the zombies? Did you recognize either of them?
I thought one looked a little like Bugs Molinowski, but Bugs isn't dead yet.
Would that matter?
Tape this off, Morelli said to one of the uniforms, and get it photographed.
Do you want to see the other disturbed grave? I asked him.
Sure, disturbed graves are my favorite, right behind headless bodies.
I led him along the path to the second grave, and Morelli knelt down and scooped up some earth.
The tombstone says this woman was buried 7 months ago,
Morelli said.
But this is a fresh dig, and there was no attempt made to hide it. A professional like Diggory would have replaced the sod.
He takes pride in his work, I said. Morelli stood and looked around.
And he doesn't want to get caught. Have you gone through the rest of the cemetery?
No, I called you when I saw this, and I went back to Slick's sleepover spot.
I'll have it canvassed, and I'll let you know if we find Slick.
Likewise, I said. He cut his eyes to the path to make sure we were alone. He wrapped an arm around me and kissed me.
Last night was good, he said. With any luck, I won't be working tonight either.
That would be great. I love when we get to spend the night together. Especially at your house. It's so comfy. I wasn't sure I'd survive a second night in a row with Morelli, but I was going to give it my all, because I absolutely wasn't going to share a bed with Diesel. In fact, I might even move Rex temporarily to my mother's house. I had no clue what Diesel's relationship was to the zombie people, but I didn't want to take a chance on someone drilling a hole in Rex's head and sucking out his tiny hamster brain for an hors d'oeuvre. "When will I get my car back?" I asked.
"They're going over the car now. I'll bring it home with me."
Chapter 16 Lula was waiting in the cemetery parking lot.
"What's going on in there?" she asked.
"Not much. They're doing their cop thing."